Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on River Talk 1290 AM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, and 1430 AM. A River Network production.
I've got the best clients, honest to God, Herb Electric and the generator. Mine comes on for 5 minutes every Sunday night, 8 o'clock, because that's part of the system. It sounds great. Serena Heckathorn, Health Markets Insurance Agency. Dwayne Pilek, Ohio Valley Waste Systems, Rich Thaker, Thaker Excavating, Everly Concrete, and Jeff Ross, Jeff's Auto Body, and it just, Ohio Valley Waste Systems, Dwayne Pilek, I've got the best. I've got the best clients because I deal with all of these people. I work with all of these people. I do business with all of these people. These are wonderful, wonderful businesses, wonderful, wonderful people. I am very, very lucky to have all of them. I got to tell you, I really am. All right. So thanks so much for joining us. You can, by the way, you can experience the whole show a number of different ways. They repeat the shows different days. Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays is Dimitri Live and Dangerously Local. Thursdays and Fridays, Dimitri Encore and Dangerously Local. Also on a Facebook live stream, you can watch the entire show. And again, I warn you, there's not much to look at. Really, I swear to you, I'm amazed that anybody looks at this thing. I can't stand looking at this thing. I can't stand looking at me. And yet Facebook says that, and you can see it for yourself with my videos, it's in the thousands of views. I mean, literally thousands of views. It's just astonishing to me. It really is. Because all it is me. And believe me, no one's ever mistaken me for Brad Pitt. I know that's hard to believe, but nobody ever has. So it's just me, this idiot, you know, who's bald and what little hair I have left is gray. And I'm just, you know, just, I'm a mess. And I'm talking to a microphone in the state-of-the-art world-class studio that I'm in. And there's not much to see. I mean, there really isn't. Yet people watch. Masochists. I don't know what else it would be. In any event, you can watch the whole thing, Facebook live stream, whenever you want. Enjoy. Share it if you want. Enjoy. Excuse me, I got a cough. I'm doing a lot better with that cold, but oh, that cold. Oh, man. That cold lasted over 2 weeks. Lingering and lingering and lingering. I went through an entire box of Mucinex. I really did. Two pills a day. Big horse pills. Oh, my God. Blue and white. One in the morning, one at night. And I'm not even 100% yet there. Pretty close. Not 100%. I didn't want to hug Carly Dittmar. She's very good about hugging, by the way. Oh, my God. This woman loved to hug. But I said I can't touch her because, you know, I still might have – I do have this lingering cough thing, and I don't want to infect you or whatever. Plus, I didn't realize she was falling apart with different hips and shoulders and that. If I would hug her too much, I think she would just, like, crack into a million pieces. And I would not want that because she's very good radio. She's very good radio. So there's that. Anyway, we were talking about the homeless, and I was just sent this by a listener, and this is from WorldNet Daily. From Monday, February 3, and it says WorldNet Daily. I believe that's a reputable source. I recognize the name, so I'm going with this. It says, homeless shelter execs take home salaries of up to $1 million. Tax-funded institutions, quote, filled with nepotism and conflicts of interest, end quote, by Jeremy Portney, a Real Clear Wire. Taxpayer-funded nonprofit homeless shelters in New York City are filled with nepotism and conflicts of interest, and their executives take home salaries of up to $1 million, according to a report from the city's Department of Investigations. Key facts. The report reviewed 51 nonprofit homeless shelters and found issues with every single one of them. 51. Five of the nonprofits had executives who earned salaries of more than $700,000, and eight others paid more than $500,000. I think I'm in the wrong business. You know what I need to do? I think I need to start a homeless shelter. Yes, yes, that's it. I can get funding. I can make $500,000 a year and make sure the problem never ends, because if the problem ends, I don't get the money anymore. Yes, of course, that's it. Anyway. Core Services Group, which is, quote, almost entirely funded by the city, quote, paid its CEO more than $1 million in 1 year, according to the audit. Core received $467.5 million from the city between 2017 and 2023. Acacia Network received $1.5 billion from the city from 2017 to 2023, according to the checkbook data at openthebooks.com. And it goes on and on and on. What a racket this is. My God, what a racket this is. And it never ends. That's the key. It never ends. You want government to solve a problem? Good luck. And this is a question that I bring up from time to time with people. And they say, well, you're so critical of politicians and, you know, this, that, and the other, and government, you know, you libertarians, you make me sick and all that. And, you know, why aren't you more positive and life affirming and all this and all that? And I always ask the same question. Okay. In the past 10 years, name one problem. This is not an exaggeration, by the way. I'm dead serious about this. In the past 10 years, name one problem that the government has solved. Go ahead. I'm still waiting. Go ahead. Try to name one. The closest that government can come to solving a problem, the closest, is to solve a problem that it created. Best example, Donald Trump going after illegals to get rid of them. Government created the problem with the open borders, with the Democrats, today's Democrats. I mean, these people are insane. They're absolutely insane, today's Democrats. And so what Donald Trump is doing, to his everlasting credit, is helping to solve the problem that government created. That's as close as you can come. Nobody else can name a problem that the government has actually solved. Now, you might know of one. Fine, send me the information. But I keep asking that question, and they all give me this dumbfounded look about, and then, you know, you see their brains working and trying to come up with something. You can't name one. I can't. Maybe you can. I can't name one. One problem that government has solved here in America. What is it? Poverty? Homelessness? Racism? Sexism? And anything else? All the stuff that you've been hearing about throughout your life. No matter which party is in charge, no matter what, you know, a horrible public education system, absolutely horrible public education system. Health, just pick one. Name one problem that the government has solved in the past 10 years that it didn't create and is now just trying to fix. I can't name one. I can't name one. All right, so there's that. Next, one more reason. By the way, we're going to be talking more tomorrow about these idiots in Weirton and about this never-ending water problem and how no one really is to blame, and that the stupidity and the incompetence of the politicians in Weirton is difficult to overstate, although God knows I will try tomorrow. We'll be discussing that, no question. But today, media, local, national, same thing. One of the things that I do in prepping for the show, and I do actually get up in the middle of the night. Sometimes I'm up at 3, 3:30 in the morning, whatever, not just to pee. Don't even get me started on prostate. Oh, my God. Anyway. But I prep for the show. I mean, I'm all over the internet. I'm all over X, Twitter, and I have to read. The local newspapers and the TV stations and the journalism in this market is just, honestly, it is just soul crushing, and it's heartbreaking, and it's just I can't even find the words. It's so bad. I really can't find the words. I also have to watch the network news. They have overnight network news, ABC, CBS, NBC, and I watch that to see what's happening. BBC sometimes, and boy, the BBC hates Jews. Jesus God, does the BBC hate Israel? Oh my God. And CNN is pretty close, right behind there. Anyway, So the stories that I'm seeing now regarding these tariffs, or the threat of tariffs, are so one-sided, it's unbelievable. They hate Trump so much because they hate you so much. And all the stories are pretty much the same thing. Why, if Donald Trump goes ahead with these tariffs with Mexico, then we're going to have to pay more for avocados. And if he goes with these tariffs against Canada, we're going to have to pay more for hockey pucks or whatever the hell, anything like that. And they go on and on and on and on and on. Meanwhile, you and I know that Donald Trump is a master negotiator. I actually read his book twice, The Art of the Deal. When he first ran for office, I didn't know the guy all that well. I mean, he was just, you know, some celebrity. I didn't really care either way. But I thought, the guy's running for office. This was in 2015, 2016 or whatever. And I thought, you know, I should buy this book and I should read it to learn something about this guy. I read it twice to get a sense of who this guy is. And he's all about the negotiating. Fine. Well, a lot of the negotiating involves threats. That if you don't follow through with on the other side, then the threat becomes a promise and all that. All right. So what Trump is doing is using the threat of tariffs to encourage other countries to do what we want them to do. And so far, it has worked out really, really, really well. It's amazing how well it's worked out in a matter of a few weeks. I mean, it's astonishing. It really is. But the coverage of all this stuff is always so one-sided. And if you don't believe me, next time you see a story about Donald Trump's tariffs, note this. You know, they're saying, well, you know, if he puts these tariffs through with Mexico, then, you know, the avocados go up, and he put these taxes or tariffs through, you know, with Canada, this happens, and then China, that happens. The one thing they never tell you is that Donald Trump is simply reacting to the tariffs that are already on American goods. They'll tell you about the tariffs that Donald Trump is threatening to put on goods from Canada, Mexico, China, whatever. All well and good, that's part of the story, but they don't tell you the other part of the story. All the tariffs that Canadians have put on us, and the Mexicans have put on us, and the Chinese have put on us, and the European Union have put on us. They never mention those tariffs. Only Donald Trump's tariffs, and actually they're not even tariffs, it's just the threat of tariffs. But if they were honest, if they didn't hate Trump so much, if they didn't hate you and me so much, they'd be giving you the whole story. It's like, hey, Trump is threatening tariffs because he believes these tariffs that Canada and Mexico and the European Union and China have put on our goods is unfair to us. They never tell you about their tariffs. They only tell you about the tariffs that Donald Trump is threatening to put on us. Or excuse me, to put on them. I got that backwards. But you understand what I'm saying. You're only getting half the story. Donald Trump's tariffs, ooh, bad, terrible. All the tariffs from all these other nations that they've been putting on our products, nothing, absolutely nothing. No matter how much you hate the media, believe me when I tell you this, you really don't hate them enough.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands. nation under God. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.